is that Rams legend, champion, and future first ballot Hall of Famer, number 99, Aaron Donald, announced this morning that he will retire after just 10 seasons in the NFL. We're talking about it all day long in your home for Rams football. Breaking news on 710, powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home with a 15-minute drive-through oil change.
We're going to welcome our friend JB Long to the program. JB is the voice of the Rams. And JB, I was thinking about you today because I'm guessing part of you is disappointed that you're not going to get to call Aaron Donald games, and part of you is incredibly thankful that you get to do it for the past 10 years. How you feeling?
Yeah, that's so well said. And hello, John and Ramona as well. Thank you for the invitation. Any chance that I get to talk about the greatest athlete that I've ever had the privilege of covering up close and personal is a great one, but especially when it's in the context of your show. And that's exactly right. Like, it hurts so much today, and it's so sad because of how high that mountaintop was.
Yeah.
That he took us to. And I've never known the Rams without Aaron Donald. Mm. And it's in addition to the 10 years he gave us, the last two in particular, John, are the ones that I've focused on, and I've written kind of a thank you to Aaron in anticipation of this moment that'll be on our site in a little bit. And a lot of that focused on he had every right and opportunity to walk away on top of the sporting universe. But he decided outside the Coliseum that day to agree to run it back. And it did not go well in 2022. It was 5-12. And for the first time in his career, he missed games due to injury, right?
Yeah.
And as painful as that was, I'm so thankful because it helped us brace for this future that was inevitable that we're now about to enter. Because we know that winning is possible. We know that inspiration and success is possible. It's going to be harder because of how much he spoiled us, as all the great ones do. But if he had walked away that day, I would have been thrilled for him, and this would have hurt even more, even though I think it would have been poetic.
JB, why do you think he was able to even think about walking away 2 years ago and then actually do it now? I mean, it's, you know, I've covered so many great athletes, and it's hard for them to give it up. It's hard for them to consider a life without the thing they're great at. But it seems like Aaron Donald was ready for the last couple of years even.
Yeah, a lot of it, I think, is the physical toll of football, and especially the way that he approaches his preparation for football. It is a full-time mental, physical, emotional operation and commitment. Is he going to miss it? Sure. And I don't want to speak too much on behalf of him, but what was unique about working with and around Aaron Donald is the standard that he upheld was him against yesterday. I've often said that he was never playing against the offensive guard across from him. He was never playing against the history books. He was playing against himself and Canton. That's it.
Yeah.
And we always knew that he was heading there. And the fact that he was able to finish it with a championship run, and a championship run in which he delivered the clinching play in the NFC Championship game against San Francisco and again in the Super Bowl against Cincinnati. Defensive players in football, they don't get those chances often. It's unprecedented what he did to basically hit the walk-off shot on defense, on a football field, on the greatest stage.
JB Long, the voice of the Rams, is nice enough to join us now. JB, your kids are little, right?
I have 7 and 4, and I feel where you're going with this, and I'm so glad that you're going there.
Okay, so my question would be, when they're old enough to understand and they say to you, Dad, you got to call Aaron Donald's games, what made him so great? How do you answer that? How do you explain to someone 10 years from now that never got to do what we got to do, which was to watch Aaron dominate games? Why do you think he was able to impact games the way he did?
Well, first, my 7-year-old is the second biggest Aaron Donald fan that I know in our household. I'm the first. He's also the second biggest Aaron Donald fan among his peers.
Good.
Our close family friends. Milo is the biggest Aaron Donald fan. And I texted my buddy, his father, today, like, how are you going to break this news to him? And he's like, I'm not going to. You have to do it tomorrow when you come over. And so I'm preparing myself for that. But I just wrote this down. I just struggled to put this into words, John, recently, that when my two boys play in the backyard, they pretend to be Aaron Donald and tackle each other. And I'm not big into idolizing other human beings, right?
Sure.
Because I know where all of our shortcomings lie. But what I will say to Aaron someday is that I'm glad that he's the one that they pretend to be, because his excellence was not derived from his physical talent. I love the fact that Aaron Donald was not the first pick of the first round of the draft. I love that he fell to 13, and that, but he turned the question marks about him as a football player into exclamation points in his career.
JB, he's the same height as me. He's 6'1", and he did all that stuff you're talking about.
That's right. And his refrain is that hard work pays off. And look, he's got a lot going for him, right? Like, if you don't have the toolkit that he has, you don't even get the chance. But from where he started to where he finished, it's all due to not just his physical preparation, but his mental prowess and the hours that he poured into his craft. To see anyone on the basketball court, on the softball field, in all walks of professional life, to see someone achieve to maximize their ability is one of the things that we love and cherish most as a society. And so, yes, I don't want my sons to emulate or to idolize athletes, but I will carve out this exception for what made Aaron particularly special, and I'm fine with them taking that from his career. Yeah.
Do you feel like his legend and sort of how good he was will actually grow because his career was relatively short? He could have gone on another 4 or 5 years, I'm sure. And sometimes that's the case, like Gale Sayers, right? I mean, Barry Sanders. Like, a lot of times when you end it short, you're the legend.
Well, we never see him play bad. He never had a bad year. You know, he never, like, everybody deteriorates in sports, but he just didn't.
He could have extended his runway. Like, he could have continued to gravitate towards the edge rush. He could have been like a third down pass rushing specialist and pile up 10, 12 sacks per year for another 2, 3, 5 years. Get those counting stats, right? But I think Aaron knew his unique dominance as much as anyone. And he also has a lot of passions and a lot of loves outside of football that he did not get to focus on. The Rams organization for the last 10 years and for the 8 that I've been a part of, we have run largely on the beaming grin of Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
And we're going to sorely miss that. He didn't just impact his teammates and his coaches. He elevated the entire organization with his professionalism and his character. It was impossible to walk past Aaron Donald in the hallway and get a little nod and a little hello and a smile and not go about the rest of your day with the dog work mentality that he brought to the facility every day. As much as his production will be missed, the one thing that I can't articulate, because it's simply impossible, is how much the void will be felt in the organization without him upholding the standard that was uniquely Aaron Donald.
JB Long, the voice of the Rams, is our guest. JB, I was thinking about Kobe Turner today, and I thought, okay, Kobe got to play next to Aaron, and hopefully some of Aaron's tricks rubbed off on him. But it's going to be harder for him now, right? He had 9 sacks as a rookie. But I would imagine some of those sacks were a byproduct of the other offensive line double and triple teaming Aaron. He's going to have to adjust, right?
No doubt. I mean, as much money as Aaron made playing the sport, and he deserves every penny, he made a lot of other people a lot of money too, right? Whether it's
right.
Like Dante Fowler or Von Miller at the end of his career. Like, he definitely had the Aaron Donald bump on a lot of other really great players. Leonard Floyd is another one that comes to mind. But part of the reason I mentioned those 2 additional years beyond the Super Bowl season, John, is because tough as 22 was, people have told me on numerous occasions that 2023 is their favorite Rams non-championship season. And so there's an institutional knowledge that was passed, I believe, that torch to Kobe and to so many others, like Puka Nacua gets to say he played with Aaron Donald.
Sure.
Right? Like Byron Young gets to say he watched Aaron Donald model the way. And the only memory that I hold more dearly than Aaron holding up his hand and pointing to his ring finger and saying, "Ring me," after beating the Bengals, the only one that even comes close is last year when he and Kobe Turner combined for a safety at SoFi Stadium, and they skipped off the field arm in arm like 7-year-olds. And it was so iconic and so meaningful for me because the joy with which Aaron was still playing, having accomplished everything that this game could possibly challenge him with, and the fact that he was doing it with someone, 10 years his younger, who would eventually try and replicate what he's done for this franchise, that says it all for me. And that was the joy of the overachievement and this rookie class of 2023, is those 14 draft picks got to spend a year with Aaron Donald.
JB, you mentioned some of the other things that he's interested in off the field and things he might do afterwards. Do you have any sense of what we hear from Aaron Donald? Does he coaching the young players this last year? Do you see him going into coaching? Do you see him taking a break? Do you see him doing something completely different outside of football?
Other than in continuing to invest in Diamond's amazing jewelry and his family, I don't think I would go much beyond that at this moment in time. Like, I think his approach to this says a lot. It speaks volumes with how little he said, right?
Yeah.
He could have done this in so many different ways. Uh-huh. It was essentially a Friday morning news dump after, like, the big wave of the NFL free agency and offseason began. And he just does it in such a subtle, uniquely Aaron way. Aaron was the only person who could stop Aaron. And I believe that will continue in many walks of his life. He's got a unique gift with children. He's an amazing camp counselor. I don't know that he ever needs to coach, but his foundation, what he and Erica and those that they love have done already, is impactful. And whether it's here in Los Angeles or Pittsburgh or whatever city and community they choose to pour into the rest of the way, his legacy in Los Angeles is both immediate because of what we just talked about with his teammates, and indefinite. I really believe that. I hope he's around for many, many years and many occasions to come.
JB, this was great. I mean, I've told JB off the air, and I've said it on the air, I'm like the world's biggest JB Long fan. And one thing that I really hope you cherish is that you are the soundtrack of the biggest plays of his career. And you should be really honored by that, because it, like when I got to call Kobe's last game and now I'm getting to call LeBron.
Yeah.
It's like, and JB mentioned his kids are 7 and 4. Cool. Like, to kids growing up, JB, you're going to be the voice in their head, and you deserve that. And you articulated perfectly what he meant to the franchise. So thank you very much for doing this today.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And when you won that nice award for your call of LeBron, you know, breaking the scoring record, which you really deserved, I was thinking about this moment and what was to come and how true that is. But today, and no point of the last 8 years or anything about me, it's solely about Aaron Donald being his best when his best was required. And just to be able to go along for that ride was the real privileges I know you feel with Kobe and LeBron and so many others you've covered.
Yeah, well said, my friend. All right, have a great weekend. Thank you for doing this. I'll see you again soon.
Great rest of your show and Friday night to come.
Yep.
Thanks, Jamie.
See ya. There's Jamie Long. And coming up next, we'll touch on the Lakers. We haven't done a lot of Lakers stuff. And a reminder that in 17 minutes, Greg, this is the final Fifth Row Friday, right? Okay.
Yes.
Final Fifth Row Friday of this season.
The best thing we give away at the station.
I agree. I love it. I'm one of my favorite things to do is meet the Fifth Row Friday winners because they're so happy and so appreciative. And when they actually win, they don't realize, but when they get to the game and they're in the fifth row, they go, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is, I can hear the players, I can hear them swearing at each other.
Yeah.
And it's super cool. And we're going to give those away in about 15 minutes at 3:30. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace. We're going to do Fifth Row Friday giveaway in 10 minutes, our most recent one. Okay, right. Momo, we haven't talked a lot about the Lakers, but...
Sad song. Sorry. He's playing my jams.
That's okay. I keep getting drawn in here.
Okay.
Last night,
Phoenix
loses.
I know.
Dallas loses. The Lakers are 2 games out of the 8, 2.5 out of the 7th, 3 games out of the 6, with 15 games left. They play the Warriors tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. They're 1 game ahead of the Warriors. I'm a shameless Laker apologist.
I know.
You're more objective. When all is said and done, when these 15 games are over.
Yeah.
By the way, less than a month to go in the regular season. Where are the Lakers landing?
Best case scenario, 8. Worst case scenario, 10.
You don't think they can get to the 7?
I don't think so.
Phoenix, I think, is going to back up. They have a really, really hard schedule.
Tough schedule, but they've been playing better. They are all 3 healthy. And like, KD's been on one. They just lost to the Celtics because it's
right.
That's a hard, hard schedule. But, they can't beat the Kings. They can't.
They don't have to play them anymore.
I know. But, like, they have to beat the Warriors tomorrow. And it looks like Steph Curry's going to play, right?
Right.
He's practicing
Draymond
today.
Too. Draymond missed the last game. Looks like he's going to play.
So it feels like the Warriors are a formidable opponent. Dallas, I saw, just gave Oklahoma City a really good game, even though they lost. I think they could pass up Dallas. I think they could get into that 7 spot. You know, they could get into that 8 or the 8 spot. 7 feels like a lot because if Phoenix falls back because the Kings pass them, I guess I could see how this can end. But they have to be on one. Like, you want to hit the playoffs on a run.
Right.
You want to hit the playoffs playing your best basketball. And I every time you think they're going to win 3 or 4 in a row, they just have a stupid
All
run.
Right. In your opinion, if they finish 9th or 10th, right now they're 9th, is the season over?
Probably. If they finish 8th, I'll give them a chance. Because they just have to.
Then they could beat the 7 and get the 7.
And get in. And I don't think
Probably play at Dallas.
I wouldn't count against them in that game.
LeBron's unbelievable in elimination games.
I know. And I wouldn't count against them in a game against the Warriors. They did it 2 years ago. They beat the Warriors in the first ever play-in game, the 7-8 game, and they won that one. But it's hard to, like, if they're the 9, at least you get the first one at home, and then you got to go on the road. That's not as bad.
But the best you can do there is get the 8, and then you could run into Denver. I mean, if you're a Laker fan, you're probably rooting for Oklahoma City to get the 1,
right?
Yeah,
you're probably rooting for Oklahoma City because that's a better matchup. But I just think, like, last year, everything broke perfectly for them.
Right. They drew Memphis, who had a ton of injuries. Then they drew Golden State, who was too small.
And they were tired from the 7 game against the Kings. I mean, I think things broke really well for them last year. This year, it's hard to imagine things would break as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm still one of these people that's like, I still think the Lakers can beat any team on any given night.
Well, they've proven that.
I mean, they just beat the Bucks the other day here at home.
Right.
Bucks are on a great run there. I mean, I thought they hung with the Celtics. I wouldn't count even the Denver game. Yeah, they lose to Denver, but it's always close.
Mm-hmm.
The competitive sweep, right?
Yeah.
Like, it really was.
If they finish 9th or 10th and they go out, what's the fallout?
And there's quite a bit of fallout. I would keep Darvin Ham and his staff. I think they've done nothing but prove they can keep a group together under very difficult circumstances. I don't know who you're going to go out and get who's better than them. There's no giant names on the market that I would look after, although I just noticed Juwan Howard got fired, so he was...
Well, that was predictable. Yeah, Michigan was terrible
8-24 this year, but that's always a name that you've heard with the Lakers.
Yeah, former teammate of LeBron, right?
LeBron and a former college teammate of Rob Pelinka.
Right.
I don't know. I wouldn't keep changing coaches every couple of years. I think
Which they've been doing.
I mean, it was Vogel, and then it was,
Think about this. Since Phil Jackson left in 2011, it's been Mike Brown, Mike D'Antoni, Byron Scott, Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, Darvin Ham. I mean, every 2 years, and then that becomes your identity, is that, you know, your coach is out of it.
That you have no idea. And then how do you draft players for a coach if you're constantly changing systems and playing different ways? I think Darvin's done a really good job keeping this group together. I know the O'Shea Jacksons of the world don't understand his thing with Torian Prince. But he did great coaching them back from the Westbrook scenario last year, get an in-season tournament win.
Yeah, I think people are forgetting because the Lakers have struggled against the likes of Sacramento and Denver. They're forgetting that it's right there for him. Darvin can win his way out of this.
Yeah.
He has 15 games left. If they were to go on some ridiculous run, by the way, those 15 games, 8 road, 7 home.
Okay.
Okay, so pretty much right down the middle.
There's a lot of winnable games there, right? Don't you go to Brooklyn and Toronto and games
and
you should win.
Washington. Yeah. If they were to go on a run, let's say they finish 12-3 or 11-4, they could end up in the 7 like they were last year. They could draw Oklahoma City in the first round, but they have to win.
Yeah.
So I keep falling for this thing where, Dallas lost last night, Phoenix
Everybody
lost
keeps
last
losing,
night.
Yeah.
It's all set up for us. Yeah, but Ireland, you got to remember, you have to win.
Yeah.
And they've been winning, except that what's killed them, just killed them, is they've had four games in the last 3 weeks against teams that they're chasing. They lost at Phoenix. Yep. They lost at Golden State. They lost to Sacramento at home. They lost to Sacramento on the road. If they go 2-2 in those games, yeah, they're fine. So they just need to start winning.
You know, when you play in your fantasy league or whatever, like football league, head-to-head, or a rotisserie league, and you get to the end of the season and it comes down, like, you miss the playoffs by literally like one game in
right,
one category. And like, you look back on all of those weeks where you lost by like one block or one steal, and you're like, it's amazing. It always comes down to that. It's like playoffs, they always come down to like one stupid play at the end of a game where you couldn't
right,
beat the Suns.
Like the Warriors lost yeah, a game last week at home to the Spurs without
yes,
Wemby. If they finish one game
yes,
behind the Lakers, that's the game that's just going to kill them.
And there's so many of those for the Lakers this year. And yet, I still think their record's pretty good. It's you know, that it's a testament to the Western Conference that one of these pretty good teams is going to miss the playoffs entirely.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's the Lakers or Warriors, they just miss it after one game. I think most likely because no one
maybe
is
both of them.
Yeah, maybe both.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. All right, coming up next, Fifth Row Friday. Mm. Now, before we open the phones, if you have not been listening all week, don't call because you won't win. The questions are too hard.
Yeah.
But if you are a regular listener and you listen every day and you've been paying attention and you think you can correctly answer five questions, one from Monday, one from Tuesday, one from Wednesday, one from Thursday, one from Friday, now is the time to call. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. We will give away Fifth Row Friday Lakers tickets to somebody for the Monday night game against Atlanta. It's next. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, Fifth Row Friday time. This is my favorite thing that we give away. We are sponsored by BBGO. Fifth Row Friday is put on by the fine folks at BBGO, the official game day snack of the Lakers. If you answer these five questions that Ramona and I are about to ask correctly, you get all five right, you win the Fifth Row Friday tickets. Now, I've always said, Momo, that I would want to go first to see if I could run
really?
The table. Others say they would want to wait until they go later.
Yeah, because second or third usually.
Because other people reveal some good answers.
Right.
But let's find out what we have in store today. Five questions to win the final Fifth Row Friday ugh, of the year. We did this all throughout the Lakers season. Regular season's winding down. This is the last one. Hopefully we'll do it again next year. But for this season, this is the final Fifth Row Friday. And we're going to start with Eric in Palmdale. Eric, are you ready?
Let's go 661.
Yeah,
all right, here we go. Momo, hit him.
Hey, what famous actor did Pepe impersonate on Monday's show?
What famous actor did Pepe impersonate?
On Monday's show, right.
On Monday's show, yeah.
Three, two.
Just take a guess.
One.
It was some old
timey one. All right. Sorry, Eric. Good try.
It's all right.
Also, if you're on your speakerphone, get off your speakerphone and put the phone to your ear.
Yeah, because I tell you, I'm yelling at you at this point.
Yeah, don't listen to Laura, would you please? All right. Sonny in Santa Clarita. Hi, Sonny. You're on ESPN LA.
Hey, what's going on?
All right,
you
Sonny.
Ready? You
here
ready?
We go.
What famous actor did Pepe impersonate on Monday's show?
Was it Al Pacino?
Yes.
Boom.
Way to go, Sonny. All right, here's question two.
All right.
Momo mentioned she had a great time in New York. Why did she say why she had a great time in New York?
Oh, she was getting it in with the sailors at Fleet Week.
Oh, oh, two for two. Yes,
that's
good
right.
Job.
All right, Sonny.
You're up now, Sonny.
All right, Sonny, three more and you win. Here we go.
Okay. Who did DeMarco Farr disrespect during Rams training camp? This is from Wednesday.
I remember this.
On Wednesday.
You got a guess, Sonny?
I'll just take a shot. Aaron Donald.
Good try, though.
Good try.
Try.
Okay. Here's Julio in Lancaster. Julio, you ready to play?
Let's go.
Yes.
All right, here
okay.
we go.
What famous actor did Pepe impersonate?
Al Pacino.
Very good.
Momo mentioned she had a great time in New York. Tell us why.
Because of Fleet Week.
There you go.
There you go. All right, keep it going, Julio.
Who did DeMarco Farr disrespect during Rams training camp?
Rob Johnson?
Very good.
Okay, Julio. Here we go. You're very close. Two more and you win it. On Thursday, yesterday's show, I mentioned that I went on a trip and visited a bunch of Major League ballparks during my sophomore year of college. How many ballparks did I visit?
You visited 17.
Boom!
Julio.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Uno más. Uno más.
Okay. Come on, Julio. Okay. Bring it home.
This one's hard.
Okay, Julio.
I don't know.
Listen.
I don't know if it's that.
I think he's gonna get it. I think he's gonna get it. Here we go, Julio.
What did Johnny Buss spend $1,500 on as part of his presidential campaign?
Hairstyling.
Boom!
Oh, nice job, buddy. The last one.
Nice
Good
job.
For you.
Oh, Julio, that's awesome.
Way to go.
Man, who are you gonna take with you?
Maybe my son.
Oh, that's great. Well, you get to go on Monday, and hey, they'll bring you by to say hi to Michael and I, but we can't wait to meet you. Thanks for being such a great listener.
Way to go.
And congratulations, Julio.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
All right, Greg, line three. that is great. I think he was the third guy, so your theory held true.
Most of the, I think in doing this or listening to it, I think it's very rare that the first person out of the gates gets all of them.
Right. Like, but I'm the guy who won last time did.
Yeah, when I was here too, yeah, same thing.
Yeah, but I'm very happy he won. He sounded like a very loyal listener. Okay, so Game of Games is next. It is Laura's game today. Laura, did you prepare the game? She's talking on the phone.
No, I got to.
Okay,
what's up?
Did you prepare the game yourself?
It is all me.
Oh,
no,
boy,
DeMarco.
It's a Laura game.
All right, like Greg punted his game the other day and
let
Lindsay do it, and it was like the worst game ever.
Really?
I chose a bad Lindsay game, which are not normal.
Lindsay games are usually really good.
Yeah, Greg,
I chose the wrong one.
Greg, we got busy and forgot.
You know what? Lindsay is my go-to when I have that happen. Like, you know what? I totally forgot, or somebody asked me too late.
We instituted a new rule because of what happened that day.
What?
If your game sucks, if you mail in your game, we subtract a point from your win total.
Oh.
So you can't mail in your games anymore.
It was that bad of a game?
Well, even Greg would admit it was that bad of a game.
Oh, no, yeah, it was bad. I screwed it all up.
Yeah, and
I'm taking the L. That's totally fine.
And but
wait, is it worse than the worst of my games?
It was close.
He was
doing an NBA mascot game, but he didn't think it out.
Oh yeah, okay.
So he would say like, between these two mascots, which one is the mascot in Denver? Is it Rocky the Lion or the Coyote?
Yeah, so it was like Clutch is a cartoon bear. What team is it for? And his name is your buzzer. Nobody knew what it was. So then I had to start changing it into two different teams. I'd be like, is Clutch the cartoon bear from Indiana or Houston?
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
It was very painful. But I'm confident Laura has put some time into this game.
Let's go.
And it will hold up. Coming up next, Game of Games, Momo in for Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Focus.
All right, focus.
Jeez, no, you just come right out of the gates with that, man.
No Mace today. Momo in for Mace. We got four players, Brian, Greg, Ramona, and me. Laura Romo's game. Laura, what do you got?
All right, well, St. Paddy's is on Sunday, so of course, St. Paddy's game.
Okay.
You know, a little bit of everything. It's going to be multiple choice. I have only two buzz in, but those are super easy.
Okay.
So you guys don't have to worry about that. So let's start with this one.
Who's playing with us? Anyone from the afternoon show? No,
just us.
All right,
players.
Let's do it.
We have enough. Is this multiple choice?
I will tell you when it's buzz in, but it's not multiple choice.
Got it.
Momo.
No, okay. not yet, Momo. A little quick. To celebrate St. Paddy's Day in Ireland, Dublin hosts a huge festival that lasts how many days? Is it A, 7, B, 5, or C, 4? And we'll start with Momo, since she's so eager.
7.
Okay. Ireland.
I'm going to do 4.
Okay.
I mean, you are from Ireland.
Yeah, but I've never been there for St. Patrick's Day.
You just should know this.
Brian.
I'm going to go 4-2.
Greg.
7 to get your liver ready.
Whoa. Okay. Nah, it's actually 4. You should have
there
four.
It is.
Okay.
Ireland so knows the Irish
Brian
question.
Brian and John are on the board.
Yep. Okay. All right. Green hasn't always been associated with St. Patrick's Day. It was originally this color. Is it A, red, B, blue, or C, silver? And we'll start with Ireland.
Red, blue, or silver? I just think silver's a weird choice, so I'll say silver.
Yeah, I'm going silver here as well.
Greg?
Yeah, it's too out there. I'll go silver.
Momo?
Silver.
Nobody got it. It was blue.
Really? Oh, okay.
No, we overthought it.
Yeah, you guys definitely overthought it.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
All right. What nationality was St. Patrick? Is it A, Irish, B, Scottish, or C, British?
Brian.
I feel like this is a trick question, but I'm going to go Irish.
Greg.
I'm going to go British.
Ramona.
Scottish.
I'm with Momo. I think it's Scottish.
Ding, ding, ding. It is Scottish.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm not good at this game.
All right. Greg, you're the only one with no points.
Yes, I am.
Okay, here we go.
All right, this one's easy, Greg. This one's easy.
Is this Pepe easy?
I think so.
Pepe, you're not even sure if it's
multiple
true,
choice?
Yeah. It is all multiple choice, yes. Okay. What does a person need to do to make the leprechaun come to life in the movie Leprechaun?
Oh, I don't
remember. Is it A, take off his necklace? Oh, when he's stoned, sorry. Take off his necklace, B, take off his shoes, or C, take off his hat?
Greg.
The hat.
Okay. Momo.
Shoes.
I'm with Greg. I think it's a hat. Why am I going with Greg? He has no points.
I know, he has
bad
no
idea
point.
On your
Brian.
Side.
Brian.
I'm going to go shoes, too.
Oh, my God, Brian, it was right there for you. Necklace.
Damn.
Oh,
it was a necklace.
I never saw
got
that
it.
Movie.
Me neither.
All right.
Still with zero?
Zero, yeah. Go for the Romo at this point.
I need
point.
To.
Focus.
<know?
laughs> Focus.
All right. In which direction is the arc of a rainbow always seen? Is it A, towards the sun, B, away from the sun, or C, there's actually no direction?
Momo.
Away from the sun.
Okay. Away from the sun, okay.
Well, how do you even tell?
Yeah, I'm going no direction. Brian.
Yeah, I'm going no direction.
There
too.
Is actual.
Greg.
Oh, sorry. Greg, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You might get
starting
one, Greg.
To get, you might get one,
I think
sorry.
There's no direction.
All right. Well, you should have not gone that way. There is. It's towards the sun.
Oh,
so no one got
no
it again.
No one got it.
Depends on your point of view. If you're going looking away
Listen,
from it.
Listen, I Googled all of this individually,
okay,
too.
Sounds
okay?
Right.
Okay. Okay.
So relax. Calmate. Okay, boss? Calmate. All right, here we go. Another one. Multiple choice. What did St. Patrick believe a shamrock represented? Is it A, good fortune, B, good luck, or C, the Holy Trinity?
Again, I think the Holy Trinity is too weird to just make up, so I'll say that one. Brian?
Good luck.
Greg?
Good fortune.
Ramona?
Good luck.
Only Ireland got it, the Holy Trinity.
Why would she make up a
yeah,
Holy
why would
Trinity
I make that
answer?
Up?
Well,
I
mean, she made up like silver earlier.
Yeah.
That means I
no,
put thought into
this.
No,
silver was the right answer.
No,
silver
was not the right answer.
Although you're right.
Blue.
Yeah, oh, good
blue.
Point. Okay.
I put thought into this, okay?
I can tell.
According to the myth, the best time to sneak up on a leprechaun is when he's A, mending his shoes, B, taking a nap, or C, counting his gold.
Oh, this is hard.
This is hard.
Brian.
Mending his shoes.
Greg.
Taking a nap.
Momo.
Counting his gold.
I'll go with Momo. Counting his gold.
All right. Mending his shoes it is. That was Brian.
Yeah, so Brian,
asleep.
You got that one.
How are you going to do anything? He's asleep. He can't do anything.
Says the best time according to myth, Greg. Okay? Relax.
Hey, embrace the myth.
Yes.
All right. Ireland 3, Brian 2, Ramona 1, Greg Bupkis.
All right. I'm going to give you guys the easy ones. Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to do the name is your buzzer.
Okay.
People traditionally wear green on St. Patrick's Day to avoid what?
John.
Oh.
Being pinched.
Greg.
Yep. No, he already got it.
I wouldn't have known anyway.
Really?
Actually, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
I don't know. People just wear green.
What? No, this is to get pinched. Okay, here's another name as your buzzard, all right?
Okay.
Which U.S. city dies?
John.
Momo.
John.
New York.
No.
Greg.
Momo.
Momo was next.
Boston.
Nope. Greg.
Oh. Chicago.
Chicago.
I got a point!
Yeah, they dye the river green, Chicago.
Oh,
really
I know. That's what
that.
You were asking.
Yeah. I know, but we had to go so fast.
I thought you were saying what was the biggest St. Patrick's Day.
All right, this is one of my favorite Disney Channel movies.
Okay.
The Luck of the Irish.
Never seen it.
Me either. And I'm Irish.
What is the main character's name? Is it A, Kyle Robertson, B, Kyle Johnson, or C, Kyle O'Malley?
I'm just going to guess Kyle O'Malley, even though I think you made it up. Brian.
I think it is O'Malley.
Greg.
I mean, it has to be O'Malley, right?
Momo.
Kyle Robertson.
God, Kyle Johnson.
Oh, we all missed it again.
How many are left?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four left. Am I out
four,
yet?
Four, five, six.
No, let's do four more.
All right,
okay?
here's another one.
What's the score?
That keeps you in it, Craig. Okay. I have four, you have one.
I have six left in the tiebreaker.
We're going to do four more in the tiebreaker.
Here's
another Leprechaun film one. Okay. What is the only Leprechaun film to take place on St. Patrick's Day? Is it A, Leprechaun 1, B, Leprechaun 2, or C, Leprechaun 3?
Totally guessing here. I'll go Leprechaun 1.
Oh, man, that's why.
Brian.
I'm going Leprechaun 3.
Greg.
I want Leprechaun 2.
Momo.
Leprechaun 3.
And Greg, you got it.
I'm alive.
Oh my gosh.
All right, three more.
Maybe I made these too hard. I thought this was super easy.
No, you did a good job.
No, I like this game.
Okay.
Which color appears at the outer edge of a rainbow? Is it A, violet, B, blue, or C, yellow?
The outer edge of a rainbow.
Outer edge of a rainbow. Well,
all right. I'm going to say violet. Brian.
I'm going to go blue.
Greg.
So it's blue, violet, and...
Or yellow.
Or yellow. Man, because it's violet, but I'm going to say yellow just for fun.
Momo.
I think it's violet.
It is violet.
It is violet. Okay, Roy G. Biv, come on now.
Yeah,
you
Greg.
You should have gotten it.
Well, no, but I had to go opposite.
Yeah, Greg's out.
Oh, yeah. Bye,
all right.
Greg.
Two more. Bye.
What's the score?
It's over. I got five, and they both have two.
I have more than two.
You want to do the...
Do I have three? No.
I had three.
Dang. No, you had two. That's why you're out.
One, two.
Just do the tiebreaker for fun, Laura.
All right. Tiebreaker. Where is it? Oh, right here. How many pints of Guinness beer are consumed worldwide on St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, my gosh.
Worldwide.
Pints of Guinness. I'm going to... Okay. Everybody write something down.
Okay.
I'm terrible at these guesses, by the way. Either go way too high or way too low.
I thought it was... I'm going to say...
Okay. I'm going to say 8 billion.
All right. You said, Greg, you said 8 billion?
8 billion.
Momo, what do you say?
I'll say 1 billion.
Brian?
1 million.
I had 221 million.
Lord Jesus. 13 million.
Yeah, see, I go way too high or way too low.
Wait, so Brian got it. The 1 million was the closest.
So John gets it? Right?
Yeah, I won it.
John,
I mean,
you
really
now have
the
lead
game.
For the month.
I do, but I'm leaving for all the good double up at the end of the month.
Can I give you guys this one because I forgot it and I thought it was really good?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
What was St. Patrick's given birth name? Is it A, Henry Paul. O'Malley, B, Patrick O'Malley, or C, Maywin Suckett?
There's no way you're making up Maywin Suckett.
No way you're making up Maywin.
I just wanted to say that name. Maywin Suckett.
No, it's Maywin Suckett, right?
It's Maywin Suckett. Yeah, I wanted to say the name. I knew that one was
O'Malley, O'Malley, Suckett.
Yeah, there's no way she's going with Maywin Suckett.
I just wanted to say it because I knew it was
me.
Hey, focus.
Focus. Were you listening the day he did that?
No.
All right, so play. Okay, nobody talk. Play it again, Brian.
Focus.
We were 100%. We were 100% convinced he had told us to f off.
Yeah, I was too. The
we
first
thought
time
he
I
got
heard
mad, and we've all Michael and I were sitting next to each other, and we turned and we went, "What did you say?" And he goes, "Focus." And I go, "He's saying focus." I did.
We have a new problem.
There's a new potpourri of lies. Multiple people. St. Patrick was born in Britain.
No.
St. Patrick was British,
not
Scottish.
No. I actually Googled it because the first one.
It says it right there.
Letter, state, or case. So when I initially Googled it, it did say that. And then I went back and said, is he British or Scottish? And then it gives you Scottish.
All right.
St. Patrick, born in Britain to a family of Roman descent. At 16, he was kidnapped from
whatever,
his family
Greg,
villa
I Googled
by Irish
this.
Raiders and sold into slavery
I Googled
around
this.
The beginning
Did
of
you
the-
say Raiders? Raiders!
I Googled it.
All right.
You
I'm
lie.
Go- I know.
I
I'm
put
Googling,
a lot of thought into this.
Is St. Patrick a British lie. Or Scottish?
I should have went with the Jameson.
St. Patrick was born May 1, Suckett, in Kilpatrick, Scotland. in 8 in 385.
Boom, baby. You should take a point away from Greg for questioning
the game's
you.
Over and I lost.
Yeah.
No, no, but from his winning.
He doesn't have any winnings this one.
Then he's
Britain.
Negative one.
No, Greg, I'm reading it right now. It says, the history of St. Patrick. St. Patrick was born May 1, Suckett, around 385 in Kilpatrick, Scotland.
But
at the age of 14, he was captured during a raid of his hometown and taken to Ireland to work as a slave herding sheep.
St. Patrick was a 5th century Romano-British Christian missionary and bishop in Ireland.
Is his name
something
Suckett?
He was born in Roman Britain.
Is his name Suckett?
Maywan Suckett.
Could be a different St. Patrick.
Yeah, that's true.
Multiple St. Patrick.
That's not my problem.
Brian, hit the super stager. All right, George Sedano, Scott Kaplan, both out of the studio today, but with us.
Greg, even if he was born in quote-unquote Britain, it's the United Kingdom. So Ireland is part of the United Kingdom.
I'm just reading what's in front of me.
I'm just telling you,
You're wrong, bro.
The United Kingdom, Ireland is part of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, sure. I even said like 2 minutes
so
before. I'm
going
to start complaining.
Anyone who's Irish technically would be part of Britain at that time.
Oh,
but he was born in Kilpatrick, Scotland.
I don't think you
right,
heard
but
me.
Even and I believe you, but what I'm saying to even if Greg was trying to make the case that he was born in Britain, that was part of the United Kingdom. Ireland was part of it.
I don't think you heard me say 2 minutes before that I'm going to start complaining to lose points.
Maywan Suckett.
Exactly.
Cappy, out there?
I'm here, but if nobody does woo, 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 then
Greg
I don't
do
love
there it is. My day is not complete until I hear that.
There you go. All right, so Cap, start with you. Surprised when Aaron Donald retired this morning or not so much?
Yeah, I guess I was shocked. I guess the Rams weren't.
Yeah, so Donna, what'd you think? Surprise! I was
same.
Surprised.
I was mildly surprised. I mean, he's hinted at it a couple of times already, so there was that. But clearly, the Rams knew, to Cappy's point, because their video came out like within minutes.
Yeah.
Of his.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I thought to myself a million times, like, why would you do this? Because I feel like we're so accustomed to guys not giving up money,
right?
You know, and the more and more and more I thought about it, you know, Aaron Donald might be the single greatest, most decorated defensive lineman, certainly, maybe player, maybe defensive player, in the history of football. And I say football, I don't mean NFL. I mean football.
Would you put him ahead of Lawrence Taylor? Lawrence Taylor won an MVP.
Reggie White, right?
Yeah. When I say most decorated, though, I'm just talking like the whole thing from college to now. He won every collegiate defensive MVP award, you know, from the Outland Trophy to, I want to say, like the Nagurski Trophy to the Nitschke Butkus. Every single defensive trophy there was to win, he won. And then, you know, he's an 8-time All-Pro, and the only 2 seasons he wasn't All-Pro was his rookie season when he was Rookie of the Year, and then the year after they won the Super Bowl where they shut him down for like the last 6 games. So, yeah, I mean, for me, yes. I mean, Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White, yeah, I'll put him ahead of those guys.
Well, I think that's the list, right, George? Those three dudes?
As far as D linemen, yes, there's no question.
Do you feel like he popped as a figure in the NFL? Like, I mean, everybody just knows he's really good, but if you were walking down the street, would he draw a crowd?
No.
No, matter of fact, Michael said he ran into him in the airport in the Bahamas, and nobody knew who he was.
Huh.
Right.
So he can still have – football players can do that because they wear helmets. They can still have their anonymity unless you're
flashy.
A quarterback.
He's just not, that's not his thing. Like right. Lawrence Taylor, you'd recognize him walking down the street.
Well, but I mean like
– Strahan, like, you know him.
Yeah, but he's that's true. But Aaron Donald is like 5'10".
He's 6'1". That's it.
Listed.
Yeah.
Listed 6'1". So, I mean, he's very average looking. Now, don't get me wrong. He's thick and he's wide. But – if he stops training the way he's trained to get his body the way it is, he might be, you know, 210 pounds.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he's a monster, but he's not tall, number one. And your question about does he pop, put it this way. Michael Strahan becomes, you know, a talk show host to the likes of, you know, Good Morning America. J.J. Watt retires, and he's immediately being recruited by every network. Aaron Donald, to me, doesn't have the desire or the popping personality to want to do that.
And I think he's made so much money, he doesn't need to do it, which I think would be, you know, part of this too, is that guys now make so much that he could just ride off into the sunset, and if he never wanted to be in the public eye again, he wouldn't have to be.
I think also because his career was so short, it will actually pop more. Like, it will actually be remembered, like, in a much more legendary way because he played such a short amount of time.
Is he the most famous Pitt football graduate, Cappy? Probably not. Probably Tony Dorsett,
Dan Marino,
right?
Or Tony Dorsett.
Dorsett, Marino. Yeah, I mean, there's other guys that that are definitely more famous, but I don't know that anybody's ever been better.
Yeah, he leaves an indelible history, and I don't know how the Rams – I mean, you can't replace him.
No replacing
him. And Cappy left him with a great gift from 710 ESPN. He has an autographed picture of Cappy.
Oh, wow.
Cap, what was the circumstances under which you gave him that?
The circumstances were these. George and I were broadcasting from Rams training camp last summer, and I thought that it would be a lovely gift for a young fella. So we pulled up on him, and we had some 8x10 glossies made, and it was a picture of me and AD after a game. The Rams had played the Bills in the Coliseum, and after the game, we took a photo together. And I just thought that, you know, he might want to add it to his collection of things in his office. So I showed up on him, and I autographed it for him right there. Like, here you go, kid. And I handed it to him, and he's probably got it in a frame. And if I had to guess, it's probably right by his bed.
Of course. And why is that picture not up in the hallways of ESPN LA?
Seriously.
Great question. Great. Probably because I'm wearing a CBS jacket at the time.
There you go.
We can Photoshop that.
Yeah. Easily.
Exactly. So Sonano, everything that they draw me back in every night. Phoenix lost last night. Dallas lost last night. It's right there for the Lakers to move up. Only problem is they have to win.
No, that was me.
am I banking on false hope again?
Look, I think after a certain point, you've played 67 games.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They are what they are.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
I mean, could they? Look, they're only three games out. But three games, we talked about this yesterday. There's a lot of teams ahead of you that have to collapse here a little bit over the last 15 for you to overcome a three-game lead. You know what I mean? So, and by the way, it's not even three. It's four if it's Sacramento because they've won the season series. So you got to come back four games back with 15 to go. Not easy.
I'm beginning to start to get my head around that they could be in the 9-10 play-in game.
I never thought they would end
weeks,
up there, but
I was the same as you. I thought, nah, they're not. They'll move up. They'll figure it out. Now it's, I think, a real possibility. I need to accept that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not too late for them to move up and get out of it. But, George, if you had to bet on it, wouldn't you say that's where they're heading for the 9-10 game?
Yes, I would bet on that. I mean, maybe the 8,
maybe.
But I doubt it.
The 8 is so much better than the 9. It's just
if Denver gets the 1.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody's beating Denver anyway, but you don't
want to. Well, Denver's
going to
be the 1. It's, you and I talked about this yesterday, John, where you know, Denver's got the easiest schedule remaining in the Western Conference. So
If they're going to
be the 1 seed.
If they want the 1, they're probably going to get it.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think the MVP race is just Jokic, and it's his for the taking.
Yeah.
But the only guy I think could close is Shea.
Yeah.
And if they come up and take the 1, then I think he's got a really good case. SGA.
Well, you and I saw each other. We're in Phoenix, right?
Yep.
Where we talked about that. And not saying that this is the right way to do it, but there is sometimes fatigue, right, when it comes to a guy winning multiple times.
Well, it's also that he didn't win last year. So Jokic didn't win last year because I think of that fatigue.
Right. So, but I still think if he wins a third, then it's 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
So it's still a pretty impressive precedent, isn't
it? Although, I mean, the only, like, when Denver was sitting there at like third or fourth, I was like, he probably will win, but I feel less strongly about he has to win if they're third or fourth. But if they win the West,
forget it.
Okay, so I brought this up with Sonano and Cap Momo, but it's the first time I've seen you since you texted me about it.
Okay.
You experienced K in Phoenix.
The old woman
that sits right behind the radio broadcast position. If you guys know what we're talking about, here's me and Michael calling a game, but don't listen to me. Listen to the background and the woman yelling behind me. Here it is. All right, so she sits behind, and Mona, now that you've heard her, would it be inappropriate of me to ask the Suns. I don't think they'll move her because those are her seats, but to move me.
Yes. No, you should ask. It's. I mean, when I sat there, I was like, I didn't go in thinking, oh, I'm going to go listen for Kay. You just can't miss her.
Right. She sounds like the woman from Throw Mama from the Train.
Totally.
I could not hear her when I went. The day before my last game, the day before I saw Ramona.
But no, remember, George sits down low.
Oh, okay.
No. The game, I was there a day early to see the Amari Stoudemire entering their Ring of Honor.
Were you up where the radio
And
guys
I was
are?
Up by, right next to their radios.
How did you
setup.
Not hear her?
Maybe she wasn't there.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Maybe she wasn't, but right, I did not hear her.
I just heard this woman's voice, and I go, oh, my God, that's got to be Kay.
Maybe Kay had bigger plans on a Saturday night.
Yeah,
you know?
Could be.
You know what they say? They say every kiss begins with Kay.
There you go.
They do say that, and that is something that could have stayed in your head.
So, Momo, you don't think it would be weird?
But yet it can't.
Hey, Momo, you don't think it would be weird if I asked Stacy at the Suns to move us?
No,
because
you
of
could
Kay.
Ask her.
You could get worse. Could get worse spot.
I don't know how.
I'm just talking about, visually.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll have to wait and see.
That's a good point. Yeah, what's up?
I have a question for you. When does your docu-series come out?
June 4th is going to be.
Oh, so
Hulu.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, Ramona did this thing called The Sterling Affairs about Donald Sterling and the end of his ownership of the Clippers. It has been picked up by FX. It's going to run as a six-episode
series, yeah.
Miniseries. What can you tell us about it?
So it's going to come out June 4th. The first two episodes drop on Hulu.
Okay. That's you've
you
seen
it.
The first two,
I've
right?
seen the first two. I haven't seen the other.
You happy with them?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple things
Well, it's never going to be perfect.
Yeah, let's put it this. There's no Jerry West really poor portrayals, whatever. There's no one's going to be, I think, mad at me.
And who plays Donald Sterling?
Ed O'Neill.
Okay, got it.
Al Bundy. Yep,
Al Bundy.
Right,
he's
right.
great.
Polk High.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah.
The woman who plays V. Stivion is amazing. Her name is Cleopatra Coleman. She's going to steal the show. She's
good.
She's so good that you can't stop watching her. They wrote more scenes for her to be in because she's so good.
Did they just start making stuff up
yeah,
I would
they were
have?
Like, we need more. We
somebody,
need more.
Somebody good plays Shelley Sterling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Jackie Weaver.
Oh, Jackie Weaver's great.
She saw Shelley the other day. She was at the Lakers Clippers.
She still goes, yeah. She still has
Clippers
those seats.
Number one fan.
Yeah, number one. She has the center court seats. Yeah. And so she's there. And then we have some fun cameos like Corbin Burnson from L.A. Law. He plays Shelley Sterling's attorney.
Okay.
Okay, nice. Stuff like that. Lawrence Fishburne plays Doc Rivers.
Oh, I love Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah. And he's good as Doc. Like, he doesn't do the voice.
Oh, he doesn't?
No, I mean, it'd be weird if you really...
It would be funny if he tried, though.
It's pretty hard to do this voice for an entire movie.
If he would have been talking like this the whole time.
You guys know who can do it?
Who?
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard Jamie Foxx?
Trust me,
we
talked about it in casting.
Yeah.
We did.
He's like,
and we thought he would be amazing in that role. It's a different role, but Lawrence has the gravitas you need.
Sure,
like in that role, you need somebody with gravitas. So, I don't know. There's just like fun little cameos here and there for the actors, actresses.
Do you appear at any point?
I have one cameo.
Do you have a speaking line?
No.
Okay.
My line got cut.
Are you a reporter in a press conference or
there's
something?
There's actually two parts where you see me. One is we kind of show social media scrolling, so they have like something that I tweeted. And you can see my picture, or Instagram or something.
Are there any other reporters besides you?
Bill Plaschke.
Bill Plaschke has a cameo.
And
Ramona
has a
tried
line.
To get me in as one of random reporters.
I gave
three, four,
I gave
or five.
Three line. Okay, there was all these parts. They came to me. They go, hey, we need some reporters to be in the show for the press conference scene. So I gave a list. I said, Jim Hill, Steve Mason, John Ireland, George Sedano, like all my people, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, Cabby, I didn't put you on the list.
No, I don't get on the text. I don't get on the text, so how would I get on the list?
But I think it was before you. It predated you.
All right.
And I gave them a couple, names of recognizable L.A. and San Francisco reporters.
And instead they went out and hired really hot girls?
No. The only person they called was Bill Plaschke.
Oh,
Brad Turner. They called Brad Turner and then they didn't end up using him.
Okay.
I tried to get Mark Spears because he was a Bay Area guy and Marcus Thompson, right? All the people who would have been at these press. And then the other one, they needed a paparazzi guy. So I just said, well, cast the guy who broke the story. This guy, Mike Walters. He's the guy from TMZ. Just cast him. And they did. And then they needed a news reporter, somebody who Had some.
Mason is going to be very bitter that he was not chosen for this.
I didn't recommend him for this one. I picked this one is a personal one because she was good to me when I was an intern, and that's Beverly White from KNBC.
Oh, sure.
She used to take me out on ride-alongs when I was an intern there, and I felt like I gave him a list of a few different names, but I know Beverly covered this this trial. So I go, because they were going for Veritas, right? They're going for this is like real little authenticity bites, right? So Plaschke obviously would have been at a press conference with Doc Rivers, right?
Yep.
We actually had a scene, and Plaschke and I were in the trailers together and stuff. And he had a line. He had two lines, and I had one. Oh, no, he had two lines, and I didn't have any. And Plaschke goes, wait a minute. I can't have two lines, and you have none. This is your thing, man. And I and it turned out that they didn't give me a line because they would have had to pay me or something.
Well, that's, so that's exactly what I was going to ask
that's
you.
That's what it was.
Outside of being the like creator and the executive producer and whatever, were you going to get paid in another way?
No. So this was, you know, this was, they were just saving a line item in
there
the budget.
You go.
So that, but then Plaschke was such a gentleman. He goes, I'm not doing it if they don't give you a line. So then they did it. So then they had to get, I go, well, I got a SAG after card. You know, I'm a, I'm a union member. They go, okay, all right, we'll do it. And so I got a day rate or whatever.
Wow.
But then they cut our line. They cut my line.
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, coach. Hey, coach, what do you say to the people out there who say you have chemistry problems on this team?
Wait, you didn't do it like that, did you?
No, I'm just trying to remember it from a year and a half ago when we did this.
All right, because I mean, if that was
like
the way you did it, I mean,
it was much better. No, what was great is I was giving Lawrence Fishburne like pointers on how would Doc Rivers do a press conference.
You're George Costanza giving directions on
he
the
He literally
Seinfeld.
Was like, well, how did Doc handle the press? And I go, well, he would have definitely learned your name because that's how Doc would work a room. And then he would, and he's like very college football presidentially, like I'm loose and I'm, you know, taking questions. And I, so he would say, hey, Bill, hey, Ramona, you know how Doc does that, right? So Lawrence nailed it. And then they changed the subject of the press conference. So like Plaschke had to retract his line. And then I'm just seen like smiling in the background.
You got to get out of here.
Yeah,
you
gotta I got Shabbat, you guys. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Coming up next, ESPN LA. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks, guys.